Yo.
Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to
#WAW. What a week.
What a week. Week.
Hey, Tom. Welcome to another edition of Wow, What a Week. Like I said, we've been doing a series of hanging out with guys and girls that have inspired me in one way or another. Our guest today is no different. He's one of the first guys I ever asked to do a remix for me. I sent him the seps. A couple of hours later, he sent me back the remix. I listened to it, then I listened to it, then I listened to it, and then I realized it was perfect, so I stopped listening to it. That's how talented he is. Multi-award winning engineer and producer. Next.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, in science, Colin Chimer provides support, structure, mechanical strength, and flexibility to the petiole, leaf veins, and stem of young plants, allowing for easy bending without breakage. In the world of dance music, Colin Chimer music pretty much does the same, but for DJs and producers, please make some noise for Chimer music. Bafana ba di science.
Malume fresh. Ilabala ba.
How you doing, my guy?
No, I'm good, thanks. How are you, Hotman?
Bafana ba di science.
Hey, share it in the school.
And then you're like, nah, I just want to be a DJ and a producer.
Eish, you know? It's like you don't choose it, it just happens.
Yeah. At this juncture, your dad, who you lost when you were 15, looking down on you from heaven, where he got there and said, guys, my son is going to be a mining engineer. Jiggy jiggy.
Hey, sound engineer.
Yeah.
Hey.
Knowing dad, what do you think he thinks of the path you took?
I think he's proud, given the fact that even if I took the path that most people think it's maybe not the like mining engineer.
Sure.
I think it's proud because I think I've been kind of grounded and I'm really doing it in a different way.
And chances are you've impacted more lives with what you do now than if you'd become a mining engineer.
Definitely. Mm. Mining engineer is about your family, small circle. So, but with music, it's about the whole world.
Mm.
One person can listen to your song in America or the other one in Spain at the same time.
Sure.
Something like that, yeah.
What was it about the old man that you carry with you to this day?
I think it's respecting God and, you know, valuing family.
Mm.
And caring about people, the community, building community. He was someone like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you lost the old man when you were 15.
15, yeah.
Take us through that period in your life. Because for a lot of kids, it becomes a make or break when especially the patriarch is no more there.
Yeah, brother, and he was the breadwinner.
Sure.
I know my mom was not working then.
Mm.
So I was studying. He was a teacher.
Sure.
So I was studying private school in town, you know, from the villages.
Mm.
I was that private school kid. Now I had to downgrade and go back to the rurals again.
Mm.
And, you know, the whole thing of music, making music came from there because that's made me now want to fight and bring something to the table as the only guy at home.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think it was a painful moment, but it made me grow.
What conversation did you have, lady, at the time about that things have to change? Unfortunately, we've lost the old man. And we have to downgrade and reimagine our lives.
Yeah, it was a hard one. I was still 15 and my other two sisters, they were younger. So I think I just had to make things happen myself. I remember I had sound, I had like two speakers and virtual DJ times, Automix, and I had to be like, you know what? Apart from hiring sound to the then thing, because I was a keyboardist,
yes.
Then I need to now go out there and hunt, because playing the keyboard go gregging, sometimes they'll say God bless you, but then, you know, financially they didn't. But
unfortunately I can't pay rent with God bless you.
Exactly. So at least with the house side and the, we call it the streets, there's a bit of payment coming in. So
sure.
I had to now make a way of going to the streets, Shabari Street Bash, have my DJs, we play the whole night, 6 to 6 for Brazo Africa. That's where I started playing with the boy. Brazo Africa, he was one of the DJs I was playing with at the taverns at home.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What's the biggest amount of money you first gave to Olaidi when you started making money?
The biggest amount when I first started making money, probably I'll say 8K. Yeah, that was the biggest when I started making a bit of money. Yeah.
And what did she say to you?
No, I think starting to give her money, somehow she started realizing that I can sustain myself, so she didn't have to worry much about taking care of me. But I remember in most cases I had a student loan. I had to pay it off after studying.
I was going to say, have you paid NEFSAS? Because
yes, I had to pay
NEFSAS. Other children must support must benefit.
Yes, I paid NEFSAS. I remember my first year after I finished studying, I paid NEFSAS lump sum, and then I bought myself a little car to start going to the gigs.
You know, there are many guys who still haven't paid.
Ish, but I have a bond, I don't know.
You know that I still owe for my first year of law school.
How did you get away?
I left the country. So if Interpol or Banyaga, they know where to find me.
So I can't owe anyone or anything. Yeah. If I owe someone or anything, I won't sleep. I'm sure even now when I'm saying this, there's no one I owe. Even whoever is watching, if I owe you somehow, please DM me. I don't owe anyone.
There's not a single DJ that is not owed by at least one or two people. Or three people, or five people. How do you deal with those people?
People who owe me.
Yeah.
I think I've learned to leave them alone. Yeah. Hey, there are many. Even pastors.
You know, I was in Nelspruit Sunday after the Metro FM Awards.
Yeah.
And there's a guy in Nelspruit who owes me. He's like, I hear you're in town. I looked at this message. He's like, why is this guy messaging?
So what?
He's been disappeared for 8 months.
Yeah, it's like,
I hear you're in town. Unless he was wondering, are you here to collect?
To collect your money. You know, it's like, I think someone who owes you money, it's like they're buying themselves out of your life. That's how I take it. If you borrow money, you don't bring it back, then from there, no more, you leave me alone.
Oh, so you've bought yourself out of the contract, basically.
Yeah. If you don't pay me, I won't go around chasing you. X-ray po koen. But there's another one. Can come manage X-ray po.
I think you should do that. Lin, nakitlo gaya wa ami. We will be part of the show for that episode.
Exactly. So I was like, yes, yes.
In fact, that is actually a brilliant idea. Mm. DJ debt collectors. Collecting on behalf of DJs and artists. Because they're a buyer. And majority of us are owed by the same people. It's always the same handful of people.
Even people who look at your gig guide and borrow money based on that. You know people do that, actually.
People budget based on your gig guide. Nah,
yeah, they see, hey, damano lalakayo, lalakayo, lalakayo.
I'm sure thawikatswai.
Yes, sir, it's a lot. Probably half a million I can get it. Hey, this guy's.
How did the church band happen for you? Because I mean, playing in the church from the age of 10, most 10-year-olds, they're playing outside during church service, or bako youthy, or that Sunday school. You're in the church band.
I think it's the advantage of growing up in the rurals.
Yeah.
So not so many kids go to church.
Sure.
And not so many guys go to church.
Sure.
And amongst all of those, not really so many people have love music.
Sure.
So I had the love, and my father was like, you know what, I think you should learn how to play keyboards. And that's how it started.
As in, you just taught yourself?
No, there was another guy who showed me the basics, and from there, I'm that child who used to just have friends across Limpopo, and I'd visit them, and fortunately it was church people.
Yes, sir.
So one of them would know how to play this chord. They will show me. I just kept learning in the streets, basically. I can't point one person and say, this guy taught me.
I have a message for you, and it seems like the fact that you grew up in the church has never left you. But anyway, I have a message for you.
Hey, Taola Firiganjani, your poet Clement Mawasa. Wow, where do I start? Baruti, Chima Music. People don't know that I call you Baruti, but I call you Baruti for a reason. One thing I can say is that I want to say thank you. You've always been a brother to me. I've learned so much from you. You are a multi-award-winning producer and overall musician, but you're still very humble, you know, whatever motto. So I just want to say thank you for that. But also let me speak about your spiritual side. You have grown so much because you put God first in everything that you do. I've seen you praying for others. You always help, lending a helping hand to those who are in need. And you've taught me humility, you know. I also just want to highlight something great that you're doing with your camping, you know. As brothers, you have created a good space, or rather a safe space for us just to gather and talk about our challenges and everyday experiences and find solutions together. So for that, I just want to say shout out, man. Continue being great. Let your light shine brighter. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. And I pray that you never lose taste. You know, I think I told you last year that there's so many doors opening for you. I see you penetrating the international market with your music and making so much impact. So all the best in everything that you do. I appreciate you so much. You've been a good brother to me. You're somebody that, you know, every time I go through challenges or troubles, I call you. You know, sometimes I feel like I bother you with your problems, but you made me understand that we are on this earth for different reasons and everyone is walking their journey and living their purpose. And one of your purposes is just, you know, helping others. You do it effortlessly, so without even complaining. So for that, I just want to say thank you. Continue being great, man. Your music has made so much impact and you've contributed so much in the South African music industry at large. You know, you've worked with so many artists and you have impacted their lives, even in their journey of music. So shout out to you for that. Hola.
You can tell that Clement Mausa is an actor because I told him 90 seconds, but he's like, I am going to have a monologue. But long easy today. Tell us about your relationship with Clement Mausa. Great actor, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's my brother.
Yeah.
We met when 2015 when I remember I won a Metro FM award.
Mm.
So he was one of the guys who were presenting, so he couldn't pronounce my name.
Sure.
So from there I laughed and we all laughed from there. We became brothers.
Mm.
Outside of whatever we were doing, he also loves music, but we connect more when we talk about life and God and reality. Mm. You know, there's reality, there's superstar, or there's reality. Now yes. There's reality when you're alone in your own space. That's where we connect a lot about. That's what we connect a lot about when we talk about that and we find a middle ground. So he's a brother and he's also God-fearing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Clement mentioned something that a lot of other people have mentioned in voice notes that I'll play for you.
Okay.
That you show up for everyone. You pray for everyone.
Yeah, definitely.
Who shows up for you when you need someone to show up for you?
Mm.
And don't say Mudimu.
No, there's people, you know. Yeah. Funny enough, as I pray and do my thing, there'll be people showing up.
Yeah.
Like for example, I can say you showed up. I had a camp and just had this crazy idea I wrote, and I was like, you know, in my mind I was like, fresh. You showed up.
Mm.
Maybe you're not aware that you're showing up in a way, because the camp was supposed to just be me alone, but I opened up for everyone instead of having therapy for myself, someone's experience. But I said, let me hear what you can say.
Mm.
But it's for me, but it ended up being for about those 200 men who were there, you know? So there's people who show up. Funny enough, I don't know how, I even stopped trying to figure it out, but somehow someone will show up.
Mm.
Or I feel like maybe I want to stop making music, and then I'll get this big artist saying, please do a remix for me. I'm like, this guy is the guy that I ever wanted to work with when I started the game.
Mm.
I was about to say I'm stopping, and then now this thing just, and that's how my life has been happening, you know?
On those days that you decide I'm stopping music and this talent God gave me, what triggers that?
I think when I started to make music, there was a time where I thought if I have this, maybe this award and this award, I'll be done. So for some reason, God gave me those very early when I was still starting. God rewarded me a lot while I was still starting. So I'm looking like, okay, what am I working for now? So I have to find inspiration to be like, okay, let me do it for probably what? Like, I'll have to find a reason, a deeper reason, because I see my life transforming in a way I don't understand.
Sure.
I'm trying to figure that out, by the way, but I think I'm looking for my reason why I make music. That's why now I end up having to do the whole gospel house thing.
Mm.
I went that route, and then I saw it working. And sometimes you just feel frustrated. Mm. You know, you'll have a beautiful song, but I feel like people are not ready to listen to music.
Mm.
People are always looked to their phones, looking for content, the funniest guy, the guy who can't dance, who, you know, like the game has changed in a way, and I feel like people are not really listening to music as much as they used to back in the times when, I'm sure during compilation times, I'm sure people would be glued to music, like, but now what's happening, It's not about the talent. It's not about the gift. It's about you must pull a stunt.
It's about the gimmick side of the music now. You know, it's not about just the music.
Yeah, I must come and twerk and strip for you to listen. Mm. And it's not what I'm willing to do. You know, that's not what I'm willing to do. So.
Marigabo, no, it's a leopard print vest.
Yeah, I think I respect music that much that I want to make it about the music, not even about myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Speaking of respecting music.
Yeah.
A lot of music passes through your hands.
Yeah.
A lot of productions that were just okay at a engineering level go through your hands and come out on the other side of the production line as something worth saying, listen, this engineer should actually get an award for this work.
Yeah.
I remember when Amapiano started making commercial inroads, 2017, 2018. Mm. A lot of productions at Amapiano, you could tell, were either not mixed or mastered properly.
Yeah.
And were not friendly to play. You want to play it, but it doesn't make sense that you should put that out to your audience.
Yeah, definitely.
But increasingly, Amapiano is sounding solid.
Yeah.
Guys are actually taking time to understand that the whole value chain is important.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys, household names, are coming to you with their music.
Mm.
Let's talk about that. The evolution of the Amapiano sound when it comes to the quality.
I think they started taking quality seriously just after COVID. Mainly I was doing lots of mixing through Team White, House Africa, because Amapiano first release was through House Africa.
They are the first guys that said there's something here.
Team White. So he's the one who started bringing some of the projects from the guys. Obviously, I didn't know them. Young guys who still bought them Tuda. You know, sure. I don't know this guy, but Team White says, please master this. I like this, but it doesn't sound the way I want. Please master this.
Yeah.
So I think the evolution is making now the piano sound to be... It sounds good.
Yeah.
Most of the songs, the guys who take the songs to mixing and mastering, they sound good. You can play a song on radio. You don't have to increase the volume when you play as a DJ if you play Amapiano. So I think it's a good path that they took. And another thing I like about the evolution is that now most of them, they've started to put music into the production.
Yeah, the musicality is on another level
it's
now.
It's increasing. Even the lyrics that they write, it's no longer like the street language.
It's not just gimmicks.
Yeah, Basa Rohan.
There's gimmicks there. And you know what? I think there's space under the sun for everything.
Yeah.
But there's also space to diversify the sound.
Yeah.
And that's what the guys have done, which is incredible.
Yeah, and they've started working with musicians, you know. Like there's something coming. I like the soulful part because now I can feel it's going back to my sound, which is soulful house. So I start hearing those chords, proper chords. The guys are really doing it.
Which project do you proudly look at and say, when it came into studio, it didn't sound solid, but I fixed it?
Does it have to be Amapiano?
Whatever it is, bro.
I'll say lots of projects that I'm proud of. There are many. Like the project Jameda, Moda, especially when he started going solo from the scratch. I've been with him and doing his engineering. So most of them will listen to them and next he'll be like, Antoana, I like what you did. And he's the guy who opened the market to me, actually, even abroad with the guys he worked with, Bo Asha, Bo Mixwell, to say, no, my project must pass through this guy.
So he opened
quite many doors internationally for me to start doing some of the work in my corner. So I'll say Murder's project. Also Amos, I remember I did Amos' previous album, also Sinom Solo. It's many.
Have you ever turned down a project because you're like, I can't fix this?
I have. I have. Even yesterday I turned off one. I was like, it's no, bruh, go back.
As in, it doesn't feel complete.
Yeah, go back, redo the work. But when I have time, I try to, there are projects that I had to go actually add stuff for them.
Yes.
You'll send and say it's complete. And I'll be like, nah, man, I'll go and play Keys myself. I'll add a shaker. And I'll be like, here's your project.
When you do that, do you want to be credited for it? Or?
No. I'm giving back to the game.
You're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. In a way, I'm not a guy behind credit in most cases. If I were to be credited, actually, I think most people will be shocked that most of the songs are, I did work there.
In fact, I was going through your Instagram account of the songs you've produced.
Okay.
And it's like a whole award ceremony, that Instagram account.
Then sometimes I look, but I realized it's not me because I don't plan. And I look back sometimes, look at the guys that have passed through my studios and I've produced for, and I see them, they're big.
Mm.
And I like how I don't go behind them. Like, brother, I still remember me, you know?
And you don't need to do that.
No, I don't need to.
Because your work spoke for itself.
Yes, exactly. And I'm sure even them, wherever they are, they always remember.
Absolutely. Like, hey, man,
this guy, you know? Yeah.
Our next voice note is from a guy whose song I'd say was solid already, but you took it and turned it into an anthem.
Okay.
What's up, big dog? This is Willie, aka Sculptured Music. I've known Chima for many years now. I remember we did House Africa Session Volume 2 producer series with four other talented producers. Fast forward, I was working on my album, gave Chima's Big Lord to mix and master before he could remix it, of course. So it was for my album, but at the back of my mind, I knew that Chima can make something special out of it, take it to another level. Months later, when the album was out, wanted to do a deluxe, so spoke to Chima to do a remix. I mean, he already had the parts. I was like, yo, bro, you've got the parts. Are you keen? I mean, the rest is history, you know? I mean, he took that track to another level. Like, it was an anthem, the whole entire country, you know, people singing, you know, the song. Even now, you know, it's our South African classic, because you can drop it anytime and people will go crazy. He's a very talented dude. His engineering skills, mixing skills, he's an all-rounder and a very nice person.
Sculptured Music, aka Willie Lubisi. What a guy.
Quiet guy.
So you decide, okay, I'm going to take Speak Lord and turn it into this anthem.
Yeah.
At the time, what influenced or what informed the direction you took? Because you almost took it to early 90s house music.
Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting remix I did there. And I think I also did it in like a few hours.
Yeah.
Like, I realized there's any song that I'll do in a few hours normally is the song.
I realized that, like I said, the time I'd asked you to do a remix for me.
Yeah.
That chances are, if you feel it, you're going to put everything in it now.
Now, I'll
versus overcook it.
Yeah, if I go through over and over, in most cases, it will be a song, but it loses some sense of activity. I don't know.
Because it's overcooked. Sometimes we overthink, and you can do the same with music. Sometimes you can overcook a song so much so that it stops being what it was initially when you made it from the heart.
Speak Lord. I remember I did that thing. I sent it to him. I was like, bro, this is going to be a kill. I told him, like, bro, I don't know what you're going to do with this, but I'm doing it for you. Because I really just did it for him.
Sure.
I said, brother, take it. It's yours. I don't want anything from it.
Sure.
Take it. Yeah.
How so? Not even nothing?
No, we have our way of working, really. So.
Oh, okay. So scratch my back, I scratch your back.
Yeah, but yeah, I was like, take it, man. Roll with it. And he rolled with it. And it was during COVID times, I remember.
Hypothetically,
if
Speak Lord had reached Jerusalem Heights in terms of the world attention, the streams, the YouTube views, and obviously the checks that come with it, would you have changed your mind?
No.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. Because my heart released it.
Yeah.
So I said, no, run with it. It's okay. But still, remember now, that means when they, in most cases, I realized this, if they're looking to book one of us, this one is not there, then they want this one for the song. That's what used to happen. Or some shows take us together.
So it will still pay you anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. And I think also my view about mine is just, it's just so different. And it gives me so much peace. I don't stress much about.
Where does that come from, your stresslessness when it comes to money issues?
I think it comes from my spirituality, my beliefs.
Mm.
Yeah, that if money is mine, it's going to come.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't need to go around chasing.
Okay, so your school, Mudimu, will provide, but hook or crook, something must work out.
Yeah, even if you crook me now, then it will come back in multiple, somewhere through someone else, through another channel.
Sure.
Yeah, if it's really mine, it will. And indeed, that's how it is, I think.
Do you remember a point where you doubted your faith? Or where you felt like, all this faith, but for what?
There've been many times.
Let's talk about that.
It's a day. I feel like faith is a daily thing. Mm. How you wake up, and then choose. Firstly, you have to be grateful, gratitude. Mm. If you miss that step, you're not grateful, and you're not believing good things will happen. Good things might not happen, or good things will happen, but you might not see them.
Mm.
So, in most cases, when I doubt my faith, is when maybe I'll wake up and not feel so well, maybe health, or I'll just feel heavy, and or maybe someone that I trust, maybe they betray me, you know. Then I'll feel like, God, but why, you know? But in most cases, it's more about my health. I'm one person. I've been through since 2015. I remember my journey was starting to take off. Like, I was busy. I was getting the calls. Vega, Monique Bingham, they would call me. They're around. They would come to my studio. And I was still a young man. I was 25. So it means there was something they were hearing that I was not hearing or seeing, you know?
Yes.
And then when it was happening like that, then something came. I had health challenges, which doctors don't know what's wrong. Sure. No one knows what's wrong. So through that, in a way, I started to ask myself, what's happening with me? To date, I don't have the answers, but I'm getting better. Now it's almost 10 years. But that is, I think that has protected me. Only now I realize that was protecting me because my life was fast. You know, I was that guy driving.
So do you feel that was the good Lord saying, slow down, my guy?
Yes, I feel like he was saying, slow down. But I'm sure he could see that I'm not about to slow down.
So at the height of that health scare, what was going on physically? What are you feeling?
I'll feel like I'm burning.
You
know, go to doctors, they see nothing wrong. Then I went to prophets, they see nothing wrong. Some will say, we see there's something wrong, but unfortunately we can't help you. You just have to be strong, it will pass.
So burning as in what? You feel like your body's on fire?
Yes, exactly.
But you're a hot producer.
And I'll feel needles, you know, and I'll feel heavy. So, and then that, I think that brought me to a state where now they'll say I'm depressed. Because I'm feeling this thing, I don't understand what it is, and I don't know how to solve it, and no one knows how to solve it. But that taught me many things about life, that indeed, in life, even if maybe you are a father, if you've got kids, the stuff that they'll go through, that you can't help them with anything. You know, it made me realize that life is really an individual's journey. You're alone. It's you and your God, really. You need to find your...
At some stage, you need to depend on you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that also helped me realize that isolating and being alone is not like it's a curse. Sometimes you really learn a lot about yourself. And that's where many things that I've done came from. So doubting God, I think God does it for a reason. So when you doubt something, you do more research. And you fight... Funny enough, I feel like God is inside all of us. Every person has got a God inside of them.
Sure.
Yeah. But it doesn't come out easy. It's a painful process.
Now, earlier on, you spoke about how you started doing men's conferences.
Oh, yes.
And because men's conference used to be a joke that guys spread virally on the internet as an excuse not to be present on Valentine's Day. That's how it started. And then you decided that I'm actually going camping.
Yeah.
And then you put on social media to say, okay, guys, let's all go camping.
Yeah.
And I remember I was at that men's campout.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, there were 200 brothers sitting, sharing, talking, being vulnerable with one another.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? You didn't have to. You could have stuck to the joking side of men's conference.
The purpose of that camp... To date, it's still a wonder to me.
Yeah.
But I realized that it was purpose-driven. You know, the whole thing of most guys are going through many things that they can't share or talk to anyone about. But when there's a energy of I feel like when men are together and they talk about things, God is listening. You know? So most guys, when they came, they thought it was going to be a joke, just going to be dancing the whole night. But
guys thought we're here to drink and just have fun and talk shit and talk about girls. But it was a proper
And everything just came together by itself, because I was really organizing alone, from sound, everything, to the speakers, to the program. It just ran itself.
To someone donating a cow?
Yeah, you know, everything was just happening. That's how I saw that, you know, when something is bound to happen, it happens.
Yeah.
So that also taught me many things. Even the guys now, we're still a team. We'll camp maybe two times a year, and we talk, and we're like, now, gents, we need to start buying land. We need to start growing and having our own things. Let's make business out of this and build other things for our kids. So I'm seeing it becoming something else.
Because the one thing I appreciated about that men's camp that you did is the fact that it was literally brothers from every walk of life. You know, from the suburbs, from Kasi, guys who pray, guys who don't pray, married guys, single guys, divorced guys.
Yeah.
What would you say was the biggest takeaway for that cohort of the first men's camp out that you did?
The biggest takeaway?
Yeah.
Is that in life there's no VIP area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone is going through it.
Mm.
Everyone has got a path they'll walk. It's different. It's like we're all in one space, but we're going through different things in different ways.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter how much you have, you know, where you stay, you'll go through it.
Mm.
But then I think it taught the brothers to have a support, like allow yourself to have other brothers.
Mm.
It was good because it was strangers, people who don't know each other. Now they are friends. Some are doing business together. They are now
I made friends there. In fact, I made friends with one of your friends.
Yeah.
And I remember last year he called me worried about you.
Really?
I think you'd gone back home for something.
Yeah.
And he told me that I must call you and check up on you because he's worried about you.
Yeah.
An hour later, he calls back and says, actually, no, don't worry. It's a false alarm. I don't know what was going on, but I'm just sharing with you that I made friends with your friends.
Yeah.
And there's a network of guys that are communicating and sharing.
They are.
And I remember when I spoke, I encouraged the guys to network at a level that if you need legal help, there's someone here who can help you with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
If you need help with something else, there's someone here who can help you about it.
Mm.
Because that's what we don't do as guys.
Yeah.
We you know, and one of my big arguments I always make about BEE is the fact that you can legislate all you want, but you can never legislate connections.
Eish.
And often doors open because of connections.
The network. Networking.
More than anything. Yeah. You can't legislate little black book with contacts. And that's what we need to learn, that have your own little black book of contacts and people you know you can turn to, whether at a professional level or at a personal level, but have those people.
Definitely. And that's what he did. I think through the camp also myself, now I know if there's SARS behind me, I know who to call.
Yeah.
If there's illness, I can say, check out with this guy. If there's something psychological or anything.
Sure.
If I need an architect, through that camp, I've met those guys.
Absolutely.
You know, so I would say it has done a lot, not just for me, even for the guys. Like every day I get messages, hey, my man, you know, thank you for this. They've got WhatsApp groups. The guys who do this, they're here. That, and then when they want to come together now, let's plan and go to Cape Town together. We've done that. We went to Cape Town. I was like, you can bring your wife if you've got a wife.
Mm.
Let's just go and unwind.
Yeah.
You know?
In fact, I was going to say, you know, from doing the men's conference, you've now also started curating smaller nyana gatherings that have loyal support, that sell out.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those.
It's lunches. we meet, it was once a month, but it has become too much now that I'm working on my album.
Yeah.
So I want to do it once a quarter.
Yeah.
So that one is open to women and men.
Mm.
So it's lunch. We meet 2 o'clock. We serve food. Everyone who comes, they eat. It's on EQ.
Okay.
And then from there, we play
EQ
games.
EQ is your company?
Yeah. Okay. It's my entertainment side.
Sure.
From camps to the lunches.
Mm.
And then, you know, those gatherings will be about 150 of us sold out. We close. It doesn't have to be many people, but it's quite quality people.
Sure.
It's people who do different things. It's also part of networking.
Because
we get there, like at the camp, we play games.
Mm.
Now we want to do something that we call conversations around the fire in this winter, where we've got women and men, we are together, we're just talking about our different views.
Mm.
It started as a lunch, but it keeps developing like I keep getting these ideas, but it's something else. It's out of my hands. In most cases, I always admit, gents, this is not about me. I don't know what I'm doing, but somehow something is happening, you know? But the lunches, I like them because I'm one person who loves cooking.
Sure.
So in most cases, I'll be the one cooking with my team. And then we serve the people. From then, It's music.
Sure.
Yeah.
What's been your biggest learning about what guys are going through from these engagements that you do?
Yeah, but never emotionally. I would say, men, emotionally, we are not as strong as we think we are.
Mm.
You know, we are
not weak. Physically,
we are very strong. And but emotionally, I can tell you, as men, we thought we were. That, I would say that that's what I've learned, that men are not as strong.
That we have work to do.
Yes, and they even admitted that they need help.
Mm.
You know, most of us or most of people, they'll just drink it off. I was talking to another guy over the past weekend. He was like, "Hey, Mona, you don't drink anymore." He was like, "Me, the only way to survive this life, I must be drunk."
And you know, we joke about it.
Yeah,
but it's the reality of a lot of people.
Yeah,
that the alcohol becomes the escape.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, you also end up taking it out on the kids, on your wife, on family members, on colleagues, because you don't have an outlet.
Exactly.
And because at work, you're less likely to be that horrible guy. But the minute you get home, you think, this is my crawl, I am the bull.
Yeah,
and you start bringing nothing but bull to your family. And I think a lot of us need to look in the mirror about that. That are you bringing the best version of yourself to your house? Or not?
So there's a lot to unlearn, basically. That's what I can say. There's a lot of things that we've learned. I mean, for example, I had learned that having many girlfriends, having those 10 chicks that I can reach out to and they'll come anytime, it means that I'm the dog. But then now I realize, I'm like, damn, man, those are just David orders and and problems and... and problems that you invite into your space.
Okay, so it's not 10 bums now. It's 10, I need a favor.
I saw that the economy is so bad. Once you ask someone, is everything okay? It's a trap. Like, now it's gone into that. I'm like, yeah, damn, for real. And unfortunately, the economy is not that good.
Also, how are you today?
You are how?
Just say, hey, I take it you're fine. Have a good day. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Yes, so exactly. Now, as we unlearn, we realize that, no, man, that thing is actually, it was a way of breaking us as men, also distract, because it takes your time also.
You're managing many people.
Would you manage? Already, exactly. I just said we are swag, you know? And we also, especially if you are generous, you are kind, and you love giving, trust me, you run dry and you go to I Blew It and mention how you used to go to Durban.
I have a voice note from one of your dudes that I actually met at the men's camp.
Okay.
Hola, de brada. This is George. I have known Colin for 12, 13 years, a very humble soul. I know him through his music. I used to book him at my venue, Platinum Lounge. He grew that business. He made it a very, very, very profitable business. It was well known in the whole of Gauteng. He put us on the map. That's when I knew there was something very special about Colin. I mean, we are now great friends. One thing that people should know about Colin is a God-fearing man. I mean, he spends a lot of time in church. He spends a lot of time in church, very humble. You know, he does not go into projects unless he puts his mind into it, you know. If you see Colin doing a project, you know that he really put a lot of thought in it. And I learned a lot from him as a businessman, very consistent in his music. You know, he's not moved by trends. I mean, his style of music has remained consistent since I have known him. Very good man. Very, very good man. I'm honored to know someone like Colin.
You build bridges everywhere you go. Are you intentional about it, or does it just end up happening?
I think I'm learning a lot about myself today as I'm listening to the Brewster. You know, sometimes I wish all these guys, the thoughts that we think about each other,
yes,
as we gathered, like at the camp, we can have that and say, brother, this is what I think of
but
you.
That
this
is
what you don't
that's
see.
That's actually why I invited you here.
Yeah.
And that is why you're hearing half of these voice notes.
Yeah.
Because we don't tell you to your face.
You know?
So we might as well tell you in public. how great you are. That's why we have you here.
No, I'm learning a lot about myself.
Yeah.
And it will definitely, I don't think I'll leave this room the same.
Yeah.
You know? I've built so many bridges. Yeah, you're right. Even now in the music, there's guys that I'll hear, he'll send me a song and say, please mix this song and master. And I'll be like, bruh, please get this person to sing on your song. Mm. This beat sounds like mama.
Sure.
They'll be like, hey, you know, vocalist, they're a problem. I'll be like, no, don't worry.
Mm.
I call the vocalist, says a beat, rock this beat. It's by my other boy. And then the song is combined together. I don't want credit. It's out. It's a hit.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'm starting to realize now.
Mm.
Get realized.
Sure. So we are off to the Deep House Olympics.
Okay.
And you are our manager, coach.
Mm.
We need a team of nine. We need 3 DJs, 3 producers, 3 vocalists.
Mm.
Who's in your team?
3 producers first. I'll go for, there's a guy called Dawson.
You can add yourself if you want, by the way.
No.
Okay.
I'm not one of the best producers. The couple. The couple, the Deep House side of the couple.
Yeah.
You know? And there's now new guys. I mean, there are many, man. Yo.
Papaya.
Yeah. Soul Freaker. There's...
Soul Freaker's new single that dropped last week.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You know?
Jeez.
Yes. And Griffith Malo.
Yeah, but we want 3 right now.
Oh, man.
Because right now I see that you're playing it safe by mentioning names. So, Basaro, Balewitz.
Ish, there's many. Oh, there's just, producers is just too many because I'm a fan. More than anything in the music game,
okay, so
I'm
give us 3 that you're taking to the Olympics. And give us another 5 names we ought to know if we don't know them.
Okay, I'll take the couple, which I'll say Aquatone now because the Aquatone is the Deep House side.
Yes.
I'll take... Soul Freaker.
Sure.
I'll take...
Hey, son, Soul Freaker, your new single is so dope. Played it this past weekend.
Yeah.
It's your...
And I'll take... Oh, man. Chronicle Deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, those are different kinds of sounds.
Yes, sir.
But then I'll take... I think those guys, if you put them and you say their songs, their discography, it's quite good. And they're... coming up so nicely.
Okay, so 3 DJs you take to the Deep House Olympics.
DJs. Oh. <Not on D-line. laughs> I'll definitely go back in time because that's when I got inspired. Vinny Da Vinci, obviously.
You can't leave Vinny out.
Yeah, leave Vinny. You can't leave Christos.
Do you know that every Wednesday I go to Saint just to listen to Vinny and Christos?
Ne?
Every Wednesday I'm at Saint just like Vinny last week.
Mm.
Yo.
Always surprising.
And my Shazam was on the whole time. It picked up nothing.
Vinny's the collector. Vinny's the collector. His sets are always like,
where does he get this music from?
Where does he get the music from? And he makes too much time. I'm sure during the week when he's free, that's what all he does. Vinny's a collector.
And then he played a song and I'm like, my man, what the fuck is this? Hmm. He's like, oh, it's the new Louis Vega and Msaki. And so immediately I DM Louis, why don't I have this? Louis's like, check your inbox. And then he literally sent it the same night. Oh, yeah, Louis Vega is in town this weekend, by the way. If you're in Cape Town, Friday, and Joburg on Saturday. So, Louis Vega in town this weekend. Yeah.
Another DJ that I'll take that always surprises me is a guy called Ketla Ket.
Yeah. Ketla Ket Tomasip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ish, but I counted 3 now. There's also Bubbles.
Ish.
There's Silly Bean. You know, there's many guys that I'll listen to and be like, yes, that's me. Their sets are exciting.
3 vocalists were taken to the Deep House Olympics.
Afro Traction.
Yeah.
I'll take yo. It has to be South African.
It's your team. But I mean, it's the Deep House Olympics, so you're representing South Africa, so it has to be South African, yes. Unless you arrange citizenship with me, with the minister, then.
Yeah. There's a guy called LW Green.
Sure.
And there's also, I love Wanda Baloyi.
Mm.
Yeah.
Guys, Wanda Baloyi is so underrated and underused.
Very. I don't know why.
There's a track you guys did with her and Floyd.
Yeah. She can write, she can sing. When I say vocalist, basically in that those are Olympics, I'm thinking of people that I can also Brian Temba. People that I can send a beat now.
Yes.
And by tonight,
you know, they'll have done it, yes.
They sing.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not someone's gonna be like, hey, please find me a songwriter. The people who can sing, but this ones they're like all rounders.
They're seasoned, and they're seasoned.
Yeah.
I remember the track you did with 1AA and Floyd D.
Oh yes.
Floyd sent it to me and then my dumb ass set on it. Then one day at Saint on a Wednesday, Vinny's playing. I'm in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I hear the song come on. What the fuck is this?
What's this?
I come running, I go to the DJ box, I look at the screen, I'm like, how I have the song Moose.
Yeah, it's kinda cool.
Yo, it's a hot tune.
Yeah, but that's why I say now. Releasing those songs, then I realized that people are not ready to listen.
Yes.
Because now when I finished that song, I was like, beautiful song. Yes. You know, there's a song that you do like, okay, beautiful. Because after 13 years of making music,
yeah.
Now you get to a place where now you don't just want to release a song. Whatever you release you must be happy with it. Even yes. If someone listens to that song after 100 years from now when I'm no more.
Yes.
I'll still be fine with it. That's the kind of music I'm releasing now.
Oh, so you're releasing music that when you get to heaven, you can account.
I can account and say, yeah. You mean? Say, okay, this is me. So I'm releasing me. That's why most of my projects I say, what's the name of the project that I say music?
You can't be getting to heaven and St. Peter is calling Gabriel. It's like, this, the guy is here. let's laugh together.
So yeah, that's where I'm at. And
yeah.
Beautiful. Those are those three threes. If I have them, then yeah, I can have a studio camp and yeah, we can run for Grammys if need
be. Which country do you think would go toe-to-toe against South Africa at the Deepass Olympics?
None of the countries.
So have I a chance?
No.
Yeah, but someone would get gold though. I mean, someone would get silver after the gold. Who do you think would get the silver?
It will be UK.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where most of the...
UK has special talent.
Yeah,
right?
Ed Jazz, Sean McCabe, like all those.
I always say we don't give the UK enough credit for what they did for global house music.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the music that we called international that was American house music, the UK took and they subgenred it and made it even bigger.
UK, can Louis Vega go?
He's in the US. He's in the US. But okay. Louis was bigger in the UK than he was in the US for the longest time.
Yeah, now when I get any international gig, it's UK. It's not US. I haven't done US.
And hence I'm saying, I don't think we give the UK enough credit when it comes to what they've done for house music.
And what those Rotman's garage, the garage sound that they have. Yes.
In fact, that's, every genre of house music probably happened in the UK. Maybe not acid. Acid obviously came from Detroit in the late 90s or middle 80s.
Okay.
So yeah. Anyway.
I was not there.
No, you were not there. Tonight we're busy there with Cassette Papa. Speaking of vocalists, we have another message for you.
Hey, Big Dog. This is your boy, Kalo. And I just want to share a few words about my boy, Chima. Chima Music, Colin. Look, man, I've known Colin for over a decade, and this is one gent that has his head screwed on properly on his shoulders. Like, never acts out of character, you know, and I don't think Tota Snacks either. You know, he's a genius musically. Really, he's a genius. He's one of my very, 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 very favorite producers. Not just my good friend, but also my very favorite producer. He's a very soft-hearted guy. Came to see me in hospital after my accident. You know, which just showed me that he cares. You know what I'm saying? Asimoto Utlwananle Noise, I know. He's a dope motivation as well. You know, I know he has a man's camp, which I'm also looking forward to attending, you know, like the official men's conference. But yeah, man, Chama Music is an incredible talent. I can tell you that much. And he's very kind-hearted. Like, he likes helping people where he can, you know, and that's a very commendable attribute. And yeah, man, I take my hat off and I give him his flowers as a producer, as a person, as a gent. I say salute. Yeah, danko.
Kalo, you guys have made some beautiful music with Kalo.
Yeah, it's 11 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember it was also through Team White, yes. South Africa. Ish, Kalo. Yeah, me and Kalo, we made about 3 songs. And then we got busy, everyone got busy.
Sure.
And then we'd talk maybe once every 5 years, you know? So it's another thing that shows you that if you're a genuine person, you don't need to talk to your friends. You can talk to your friend once a year.
Yeah.
But you know where you guys stand. You
exactly.
Know? It's, if it's about this, about this. If there's any issue, you know, you can reach out to me.
Absolutely.
If there's no issue that really needs me, it's fine. We're still friends.
Mm.
So lately, we are getting closer. We are actually close again now. We talk after his accident.
I was going to say, would you say the shocking reality that was his car accident?
Yeah.
Was a catalyst in how you guys relate now.
Exactly. Because I think, looking at myself, I relate more to people who are going through something bad than someone who's having it all together.
Mm.
And they are having, most of the people, when they go through the most, that's where I relate the most than when they're celebrating and, you know, rocking.
Why do you think that is?
I think I'm a healer. I think I'm a healer. As a spiritual person that I am, I'm a healer.
Mm.
Yeah. In a way. So I attract mostly people who are going through.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Kalo has his accident. It was a terrible accident. And you went to visit him in hospital.
Yeah.
What's the first thing that came to mind as you walked in there? Because he was in a very bad way.
I remember first thing I did, I asked to pray with him. We prayed. I asked for a glass of water. I prayed for a glass of water. I gave him to drink and I told him after that, like, you'll be fine. He was in so much pain, that guy, like, and you know, I've learned a lot also by just looking at him going through that pain and the things he was saying and the things he wants to do. But more than anything, he was fighting. He wanted to be well, which I think that's where faith plays role also. He wanted to be well, but he was, ish, man. That guy was in so much pain when I saw him. But I sat with him for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
We spoke, we prayed, and I told him about God. I told him about a bit about what I think life is going to teach him, how he's going to be a different man thereafter. And I'm seeing him becoming exactly that.
Yes.
It's Kalo is the normally Kalo what happened, and like most guys far more tougher from back in the days.
Yeah.
But then now I've seen him becoming so soft, man. He's so kind. I'm seeing a different version of him.
Mm.
Yeah. Now we talk almost every day. Voice note, Nyan Eta. We were in studio last week.
Mm.
And we're making music again, and it's sounding beautiful. And I see how excited he is about the song that we're doing.
Yes, sir.
Like, bruh, man. I can see that, like, he's coming back to being the, like, it's like where he belongs in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Going back to your groove.
Basically. Yeah, it's like going back to his groove, and he's starting to say, no one, the things that I used to do that I'm not going to do anymore. Like, sometimes just share heart to heart conversation.
Yes, sir.
And I'll be like them, and it's just good to see how what life can do to a person.
Yeah. I have another message for you.
Yes, yes.
Colin, Big Bra here. Okay, where do I start? Okay, so basically, Colin, Chima Music, we met some time ago in church. She was still very young then, playing music, rather the keyboard in church. And later on, we formed a group. We called it Impact. And he was the musical director then, genius one for that matter. And I think what struck me about him is that even later on, when he became very successful in music and he became known, he never became arrogant. And he's still a good person with a good heart, grounded and humble. And I just want you to know that Big Bra really does appreciate you and he loves you very much.
Who was that?
Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a guy. When I say I used to play keys, then we had bands. And
you're 17 years old.
Yeah.
You're in a band called Impact.
Yeah.
And you guys are doing mainly jazz.
Yeah, and gospel.
And gospel.
Yeah.
What happened with Impact?
I used to get bookings. Even used to come and play, play in Pretoria, like, you know, coming from my hometown, Bakersfort, coming to Pretoria to play. It was showing that you're really doing well. We had that band. Hey, it was nice, man. The rehearsals, everything, good energy. Mm. Even now, me and the guy, we stay in the same estate. You know, we'll see each other. Because of growing up, I think another thing about growing up goes back to saying you can talk to your friend now once in 6 months and it's okay. You know, my man, how have you, you know, it's actually wow, man.
But also the moral of this story here, guys, is work so hard that one day you can say, we live in the same estate.
Yeah.
How are more complex? How are you flirting? The more estate.
Age fresh. Yeah, so that's the guy. When I say we had a jazz band, we played weddings, though, and I was the youngest amongst the band.
Sure.
Yeah,
you were
17.
17.
That's when I was really like thinking I was, you know.
Thinking you're the man.
Yeah.
When did you realize that this talent of yours is not normal? Because every child has talent to a certain degree.
Mm.
But then there's also kids who know that this is not normal.
I would say that it's not normal, but I started seeing it very well. Like, where I would say, yeah, no, this is crazy.
Mm.
It was when, I remember it was the same month when Louis Vega reached out to me to do a remix for him.
Yeah,
and also Monique Bingham reached out to me to do a remix at the same time, but they didn't know that they were both talking to me.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and those are like my idols, you know, vocally and music. So that was the other time I saw. Also, when I won the Three Summers, got 2021 or 2022, I was like, this is crazy because the sound I'm doing is not the sound that's supposed to get me there.
Sure.
You know, it's underground, it's deep, it's soulful. So that's when I saw that there's something very abnormal about me.
Yeah.
And I made peace with that.
But also, quality sound is quality sound. And then, you know, and whether you've made it for the commercial side of things or not, if it's hot, it's hot.
Yeah, but that just made me see that I'm not normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy not to be normal, though. I'll tell you that much. Because the abnormality goes to many things, even how my life is lived.
Mm.
It's like I'm set apart in a way. My life is different. Do this, do that. I don't relate to many things.
One thing I don't think we speak enough about is the discipline that comes with not allowing the hype around you to dictate how you treat people.
Yeah.
And you're one of the few people that I encounter in our industry that I've seen does not drink their own Kool-Aid.
Hmm.
But it takes discipline not to drink your own Kool-Aid. Because it's actually easier to be full of shit. It's way easier.
Mm, anyone can do it.
But to maintain humility, to maintain grace, to give people grace, to, like I said, to walk past your own jug of Kool-Aid and not drink it, takes a lot of discipline. Let's talk about that.
Then I'll say that's where now I can say God is a genius, because the challenges that he's put me through somehow and built that made me have that strong connection about my spirituality and God.
Yeah.
So that just grounded me. I realized that it's not about me. Like that much I can tell. I always say life is not about us.
Yes.
There's someone bigger up there. He's got his own plans about us.
Mm.
He decides what happens and how.
Sure.
He decides, okay, Fresh is going to call Chima on this day.
Yes.
And this is what they're going to talk about and for this long. And we think, because you can plan and say, I want to talk to Chima for 30 minutes.
Mm.
And next thing, 1 hour later, we're still talking. So we don't really plan. So God grounded me so much, and not in an easy way. That's another thing that I need to stress. Not in an easy way. It's very painful when God deals with, wants to build a character out of a person.
Mm.
He'll isolate you, firstly. Maybe if you have many friends, for them to leave you, they'll betray you in a way.
Yeah.
So it will be pain, 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 pain until matlo go abulega. So that gave me grace to be like, okay, what life is putting me through? I don't want anyone else, not even someone who says they're my enemy, to go through. And I'm happy that where I stand, I don't have anyone that I can say enemy.
And you know, sadly, sometimes the lessons we need to learn have to be done the hard way.
Ish,
you know what I mean? I sometimes feel like Mudimu unale a wicked sense of humor. That you could teach me this lesson through a million other ways, but you are like, I must go through that fire. There's a fire there, and you're going to walk through it.
I understand. I think God, that's how I feel like God thinks like that.
Yeah.
The skin, the pain is there for a reason. So unfortunately, we don't want to feel it, but that's the best way to fix things. Pain.
With a hard lesson.
Yeah. Or one other if you want to fix something, pain.
We have another message for you. Okay, so I've been in touch behind the scenes with one of your people, and I asked them for two or three voice notes. They sent eight. We're not going to play eight voice notes because we don't have time.
My people.
It doesn't matter. Me, I just needed three or four voice notes. I got eight. But anyway, here's one of them. We'll be wrapping up soon.
Okay.
Hi there. My name is Keleto, Colin's little sister / daughter. Oh yes, oh what an amazing person my brother is. Where do I even begin? My brother, he's such a loving person. He loves his family, he cares a lot about his family, and he is very protective towards his family. Personally, he is, and he has played a huge role in my life, in my upbringing. And I remember when I started varsity, I stayed full-time with my brother, and he was there as a brother. He was there as a father. He was there as a mentor. He was just, I could mention, I wouldn't finish. Some of the traits that my brother taught me is to be calm in life, and is to fear God and to trust God in a lot of things, and most importantly, to be very humbled. There's one thing that I carry with me that my brother has instilled in me, is to be very humbled in life. Well, my brother is not a man of many words, so I'm also not going to go too long. But all I can say is that we love you so much, Ria Horata, and we appreciate you and all your life advices, all your coaching and strictness, and I can count, I won't finish. But we are, because you are playing a huge role in our lives. Love you so much. Appreciate you so much.
Mwah. That's your little sister.
Yeah.
Kelezo.
Kelezo, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about being a big brother. What does that even mean? Because we big brother at different levels in different ways. Some of us are strict. Some of us understand that this is a young woman. I can't be her father for the rest of her life. Especially because, you know, minus dad, you become the immediate father figure.
Yeah. Yo, I had to man up very early at my age,
yeah.
Because immediately when the my father passed, then I had to be that father. So I think I had to brother with grace.
Yeah,
you know, make sure that whatever they need, I can be able to assist them with. So I think being a gracious person helps me a lot. Being humbled helps me a lot, because you can't tell. Like, I ground myself so much, you can't tell when I'm doing well and when I'm not doing so well. Just because I realize that the strength has to go is from God. And like I'm saying, when I'm going through the most, I can pray and pray and pray. Then I'll get a call to solve my problems. I know that God makes a way somehow.
Yeah.
So that has just made me see life very differently. So I was just saying, man, as people, let's just be gracious. There's a lot we're going to learn in life. And you can learn it from someone you don't know or someone you know. So Bokelet, so yo, they think, I realize that my family is a bit, hey, go ahead, you know, but not overly strict. I've never done anything that they can say.
Not necessarily out of fear.
Not out of fear, but out of respect. Because another thing I do, I respect people. I respect so many people. Like, even in the music industry, you ask anyone, I respect people. And I've got that thing of, I respect people's space. You know, I'm always like wondering.
How do you deal with conflict? We don't agree, or maybe we don't even like each other. How do you deal with that?
The best way I deal with it is distance myself, but in a nice way.
What's a nice way? I'm going to distance myself, but I'm going to send you cool drink. But in the cool drink, we're going to brute lux. What are we doing here?
No, it will just be to have those boundaries, you know?
Yeah.
But then most people that end up not working with, I left them alone. Mm. Probably there's guys in the industry that I've done work for.
Yeah.
And then sent invoices. And then they said, I'll pay tomorrow. They didn't pay. I reminded they didn't pay. Mm. I just leave them alone.
Mm.
So that distancing, that's me distancing myself.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean if they come and say, hey, brachaima, I'll ignore them. Chances are I'll be like, hey, Muna, 5 years ago, there's been an invoice here. You're so quiet. Actually, I called one guy who borrowed lots of money, that guy, 100,000 from me. That was 8 years ago.
Mm.
He only paid me 20,000. So now, yesterday we speak. I'm like, oh, brother. He's like, I was thinking about you actually, my brother. So I'm like, and I still laughed. So they're still amazed. I'm amazed that I laugh. So that conflict doesn't mean I'm going to be like, I hate this guy. I'm going to talk you badly. I just be like, okay, maybe God knows when I'm going to need that money.
Sure.
Maybe I'm going to need it after 20 years from now.
I was going to say, we still want our 80,000. If you're watching this.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to need it. Maybe that guy's going to become a billion. You understand? Yeah. The first chance that if he becomes a billion, he's going to think of me. He's gonna
be like, and it will come back with money. Babies.
Yeah, he can come and be like, brother, here's a million, man. This guy once borrowed. I've seen people talking like this about me. Like, this guy, you know, we had a camp in May now. Was it May? April in Hartebees. One guy was like, you know, this guy, I owed him this much and then he did so. Like, I realized that, oh, actually, I left it alone. And this guy inside is, like, thinking, like, yo, this guy. Whenever he thinks of me, he's like, ish. So, distance yourself, but graciously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, what are we working on right now that we can look forward to? Because I know there's an album about to come out. K-Lo was in studio with you just last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about whatever's happening right now.
Yeah, I haven't dropped an album. I normally want to drop music every 3 years. Mm. So, this time it has been 4 years. So, I want to drop an album this year, August. It's finished, but then I want to go back into studio with different musicians and rebuild it.
Okay.
Yeah. If I need to add a live bass, do that. Like, but in August, I've got the couple called me also. He wants to be part of the album. I've got K-Lo already. I've got everyone. But I just want to make it 10 tracks. That's a challenge. And I want to have almost all the bits and pieces of the sound that I've even the Cheke remix I did.
Yeah.
I've seen people playing. Some people are taking. I'm like, this is a beautiful song, but cause I feel like it was a part of a big remix package.
Yes.
People, and also they're not ready to listen to music. Mm. People slept on it. I was thinking maybe I must tell Fresh, bring this thing. Let me add on the album.
I think let's have it as a bonus track on the album.
Yeah, because I feel like this song, there was something. I don't know. Leon Akin,
it was a special remix.
Yeah, Leon Akin, it's very fast. But then I could, when I played it in the car, all that, I was like, yo.
Yeah.
When it came, I was like, maybe I must put this song, because there's many people who haven't heard that song.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Who'd love it.
Yes, sir.
So I've got such songs that I'll tell you, like, there's songs that I feel like they were just out, but not at the...
All things being equal, the one vocalist you wish you could have on this album in August?
I still, the only person that I've been worked with and I wanted to work with is Portia Monique.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, she's a special talent. One.
I have Monique Bingham already.
Yeah.
So I think having Portia Monique would be...
Have you reached out to her? Have you tried?
Portia?
Mm.
Yes. We spoke. She said, I must send beats. Mm. But yeah, music for me is energy. Yeah. You know, the energy sometimes just is not now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still think eventually we'll work together.
How do you deal with the frustration of that, though? That sometimes you know what you need to do. But you almost feel like when I learn to outwearing.
Yeah, tension, yana, engwa, so you don't know what.
It's like, and some people even believe it could be a dark energy that is blocking your energy. That is what slows you down or blocks certain opportunities. Or you know that you've had a good year, but no one is seeing the work that you're doing. How do you deal with those slumps in movement and energy? And do you believe in dark energy?
Mm, I believe in things not just being the time. I believe everything happens when the time is right. Mm. When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it. That's where I stand. Mm. You know, if it's your time to win, it's your time.
Yeah.
And if it's not, sometimes you are the hardest working guy.
Yeah.
But it's not. There's guys who are working very hard, they don't sleep.
Mm.
And this guy just comes and presses the keyboard once, two hours. He releases the song, it's out, the biggest song of the century.
Mm.
So the whole thing of timing, I think since I had that thing out, when the time is right, I hardly ever get frustrated by anything.
Yes, sir.
So I think that's how I deal with it.
What do you fear?
My fear?
Mm.
Yo,
what's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear would be a car accident. Eh?
Mm.
Yeah, I think how fast I see them happening.
Mm.
It's just crazy. I've got a fear for car accident. Also for that thing, the bungee jumping, where you're jumping and you've got a rope tying you. I've got such fears.
So bungee jumping, no?
No, not for me.
Mm.
Yeah, rather right.
Does your fear of being in a car accident determine how you drive, how fast you drive, and how alert you are on the road?
Yes, it does.
Mm.
I've never been in one accident. The only accident I have was a motorbike, but then it was a small one. So I've never been in a car accident. I feel like a car is just so big, it can roll and close you inside. How I see accident when it's just so bad.
Don't you find, though, that if you are a biker,
it
helps you become a more alert driver?
Yeah.
Because for me, that's what I found.
Yeah.
That because when you're on a bike, you have to be more alert. You have to look way ahead.
Each second.
You have to think for the car that could kill you in a second.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that you have the right of way, you have to think for that guy that might be an idiot. And as a result, you're even more alert as a driver.
Of a car.
Because of your biking alertness.
Even the car becomes a bit boring when you're a biker.
Exactly. Because,
yeah. But yeah, it made me very alert. When I drive a car, in most cases, I've never even had a close call.
Mm.
Like, I'm that guy when I drive, all the mirrors, I'm looking at everything around me.
Mm.
Just like with the bike, I know. Bike, you can't afford to make a silly mistake.
One silly mistake, you literally die.
Yeah, you can't afford. So I'm always alert also, even how I ride. I'm not a super bike rider. Mm. I'm a cruiser, but even how I cruise, how I choose the lanes and how I switch the lanes, everything is very alert.
Mm.
Yeah. If it happens, really, it will be the time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm not reckless. Yeah.
My dude, where do we find you online? How do we support you, your music, your events?
How you find me online? I've got Instagram, I've got Twitter, I've got Facebook and TikTok.
Mm.
I don't twerk. I don't talk much, but I'm there. So it's
There every day.
Yeah, I'm there every day. Yeah. In most cases, lately I share scriptures, or I'll share my thoughts once a week. Though I used to be too much on socials, so now I've learned to. I think as I grow, life humbled me so much that I'm not sure what to share,
sure,
and what not to share.
Mm.
So in a way, I'm a bit quiet now on socials, but I'm reachable. If you send me a DM and say boop, chances I'm going to respond to it in a day or two.
Next camp out, next men's camp?
I'm planning to have the next men's camp in Clarence, Free State, ka September the 19th to the 21st.
Okay.
Yeah, so
is there still space to
be involved? Yeah, I'm still planning it out because I wish the guys could, if I get a sponsorship is Sadi Bus, you know, and then we travel with common transport.
Okay, so basically,
for safety.
We want transport for everyone.
Yeah, so the guys can travel in probably maybe if it's 5 or 10, maybe.
Because convoys are not always a good idea.
No, not. Yeah. They used to be cool back then. We thought they were cool, but looking at how accidents happen, and if someone dies on their way there, because it's about 3 hours drive.
It ruins it for everyone.
Yeah. Mm. It's 3 hours drive. It's a beautiful scenery because also the camps we want to make them as part of traveling, also being in nature, you know, anything that brings peace into men's mind when they're in nature, realize they talk more than when they are, you know. So next men's camp, 19 September in Clarence, Free State. I'm putting things together, and I know it's going to work out because it's a God's thing.
Mm.
But that's the plan.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My dude, the reason we had you here was just to remind you who the hell you are. And to appreciate you, and to have people that we know love you tell you to your face. Because we can't be saying these things at your funeral.
Nee.
We must say them to your face right now.
Eish.
That is why we had you in here. So thank you so much for the talent. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for doing the Lord's work. You've been doing the Lord's work from day one, and you haven't stopped.
Thank you very much, Fresh.
So please keep it
You're up. Also one of the very few people who who believed in me to even remix your song.
Mm.
So thank you very much for the support from then to now. We're still alive, we're still kicking.
Excellent, absolutely. Looking forward to the brand new album. It's out in August.
Yeah.
And you're not going to say, the time is not ready, let's go until September.
I was telling actually Kilo that I'm going to put myself on the line. Whenever I talk, I'll say August, I'm dropping.
Yes.
Even when I know that I'm not ready, so I can put myself under a bit of pressure. Because I think sometimes you need to pressurize yourself, you know? Yeah.
Brand new album in August and Men's Camp in Clarence in the September. Free State in September, the 19th, right?
19th, yeah, that weekend.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chima Music is about to leave the building. Coming to you from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg, we're part of the Africa Podcast Network, home to almost 100 African podcasts. The big question is, what are you waiting for? Shout out to Trevor and the team at Pezulu Works for the cinematography, all of the behind-the-scenes social media footage by YBF, additional production by Lati, and our executive producer is Gilitso Modisa-King. Till next week, have a wild week in spite of yourselves. We're out of here.